You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
I want to talk to you this morning about, this evening about redemption. Actually, Sister Brenda said that Jesus is our Redeemer. You know, Ephesians 1:7 says this: in Him we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Psalms 103:1-4 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases," say diseases, "and delivers us," or redeems us, "from destruction." You know, Jesus is our Redeemer. And I think, do we really know that what redeemed means? What does it mean to be redeemed? What does it mean? I mean, we know, we just read, He redeems us from our destruction. But, you know, the word redeem is actually, it comes in the Greek, it actually means to buy up. It means to ransom. It means to rescue from loss. Guys, we were like just beggars on the street, had nothing to offer God. We were dead in our sins, lost. We were without God. Strangers from the covenants of promise, the Bible says. We were without hope in this world. And God, the Redeemer, the lover of our souls, reached down, picked us up. And of course, I want to talk about being redeemed from the curse of the law. And actually, Galatians chapter 3, this is where we're going to be. You can turn there, because this is where we're really in the foundation verse, where we're going to be preaching out of. But Galatians chapter 3, very awesome verse. These two verses alone, these two verses, is the entire plan and nature of total redemption that was brought about by our Savior Jesus Christ. These two verses alone reveals the heart of God concerning redeeming mankind. After the fall of Adam, the whole heart of God is wrapped up and summarized in these two verses. If you want to know what the gospel is about, what all this Christianity is about, you read Galatians 3, 13 and 14. That reveals the heart of God. It reveals what God was setting up from the foundation, after the fall of Adam, what He was doing. It reveals the heart and the plan and the nature of God concerning you and me, to buy us back. That word redemption means to buy out from under, is actually another rendering of the word in the Greek. It means to buy out from under. It's like a company going under, a company losing everything, and another company comes along and says, "No, I'm going to buy out from under you. I'm going to pick up your debt. I'm paying your debt." Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did for us. According to the W.E. Vines, to really get a picture of that definition, redeemed, according to the W.E. Vines in the Expository Dictionary, it literally means this, as it's used in a sense of purchasing a slave toward the view of his freedom. Hallelujah. The Bible says we were dead in our sins. Romans 6:6 says you were no longer slaves to sin. We were slaves to sin. We were slaves to the devil. We were children of the devil. And so God redeemed us, found a way to redeem us. Hallelujah. And so the very first, that whole scripture would take months and months and months of Galatians 3, 13 and 14 to really break it down. But I want to break every word apart. And the first word of that verse, Galatians 3, 13 says, Christ. Christ. Think about that. Christ. Jesus. Why couldn't Moses redeem us? Why couldn't Noah redeem us? Why couldn't Jonah redeem us? Why couldn't Abraham redeem us? Why couldn't Joseph, Isaac, Moses, any of these men of God, Enoch, who walked with God, the Bible says, why couldn't all these men sacrifice their own blood and die for us? Why did so many men of God throughout history come, and not one of them could redeem us? Actually, in Genesis 4:8, I'm going to show you this. In Genesis 4:8, you see the account of Cain and Abel, right? Cain and Abel. And you know the story that Cain's sacrifice was unacceptable. It was not respected by God. And Abel's sacrifice was. And we know that the Bible says Cain's countenance fell. He got angry, upset at God. And God came to him and said, why has your countenance fallen? And then And God said to him, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And then Cain obviously was angry at this, and he seen his brother working in the field, right? And he went to his brother and talked to his brother, and the Bible says Cain rose up and slew him, killed him. Now listen to me. If simply the martyr's death of a good man for a good cause, Abel was a good man, and I guess he died for a good cause. He died without any fault. He was just another man killing an innocent man. So if it's simply the martyr's death of a good man for a good cause was sufficient, good enough to redeem us of our sin, then Abel's death would have redeemed us right there from the start. But it wasn't. Man couldn't redeem us. The Bible tells us, and it tells us and gives us so much insight in Scripture that the Redeemer must be God. The Redeemer must be God. And one reason why the Redeemer must be God is simply because we've just covered it. Man couldn't be the Redeemer. Man couldn't do it. And in Genesis 15, in the Old Testament, in the sacrificial system where they would sacrifice animals, this is really interesting stuff. You really have to understand the fullness of the New Testament. I think you really have to understand the Old, because you have to understand where we come out of. In the Old Testament, the priests would sacrifice these animals on behalf of the sins of the people of Israel. These priests would. And they would, and under that old system, that Old Testament sacrificial system, the lamb or the animal stood in for God. And in Genesis 15:9, God spoke to Abram and he said, and this is interesting, he said, listen to this, I want you to catch this. And God said unto Abram, he said, take me a heifer. He didn't say, take a heifer. He said, take me a heifer. Very interesting and very significant. Don't overlook that. Because what God was saying, God invited Abraham to enter into a covenant. A covenant, a contract, a strong binding agreement. And when two parties entered into a blood covenant, both parties would shed blood on behalf of each other, on behalf of the covenant. And they would shed blood to ratify. Ratify means just to approve, to give official sanction. It means we're serious with this covenant. We're entering into this contract. And it was the giving of their blood that actually gave the approval of that covenant. And I want you to understand something here, is that even though God did not at this time have a flesh and blood body in which to shed blood, He allowed the animal to stand in for him. That's why he said, take me a heifer on my behalf. Let him stand in for me. And guys, listen to me. This all pointed to a time throughout the Old Testament. All pointed to a time when God would send his own sacrifice to the earth and shed his own blood on behalf of you and me. Praise God. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about redemption. Redemption. Hebrews 9:26, listen to this. Says, he has appeared, he who? Jesus. He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hallelujah. And you know what's as interesting is John chapter 1, I love it, because it says, in the beginning was the Word, goes to verse 14, says, and the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. And then it talks about John a little bit, baptizing in the River Jordan. And then verse 25, the Bible says, and the next day, after he was been baptizing, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him, the Lamb of God. The Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Lamb of God was walking towards him. Salvation was walking towards him. His Redeemer was walking towards him. And he said, behold, look. I don't know, it might have been some people there around there, but he said, look, the Lamb of God. He was blown away by it. He had understood the Redeemer was coming. The Redeemer was coming, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's finally here. He's walking towards me. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That was amazing. Time in history when he was there preaching. He's the forerunner of Jesus and preaching his coming. And then in verse 35, the Bible says, and he's still blown away by it. He still has a revelation of the Redeemer. And he says in verse 35, and the Bible says, and John, and the next day John was standing with two of his disciples. And he said, look, behold, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, this Old Testament was all pointed to the time when Jesus would be manifest in the flesh. And that's what 1 Timothy 3:16 says. And it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. Somebody, praise God. Are y'all excited? I hope so. Hallelujah. This is good stuff, man. We're just studying tonight. I just want to look at the Scriptures and study. And, you know, Acts 20:28 says this, and Paul, talking to the Ephesian elders, he told them, he said, feed the church of God, which Jesus, has purchased with His own blood. By the blood of Jesus, He purchased our redemption. Now, I want to go a little bit to, we're going to talk about your redemption as more of being redeemed from sickness. We know that Christ has redeemed us from sin. We know that. And I think we're all comfortable with that, and we're all secure in that. But there's a lot of people that are not so secure in the fact that Christ has redeemed us from sickness. And later on, we're going to look at Deuteronomy 28 and look at really what redemption, the curse of the law is and all that. But in Exodus 12:5, another reason why the Redeemer must be God is in the Old Testament sacrificial system. Listen to me very closely. This is really good. The Lamb of God was prophesied or said to be without blemish. The Lamb of God had to be without blemish. And then the priest would have to inspect that animal during the sacrifice, and that animal had to be without blemish. The word blemish means is really symbolic of sin and impurity. And that animal had to be inspected. Hallelujah. That animal had to be inspected. In Exodus 12:5, God told Moses, He said, your lamb, concerning Passover, He said, your lamb must be without blemish. Without blemish. And it's very interesting in the New Testament. Actually, Jesus is said to be the Lamb of John. Didn't He say that? The Lamb of God. And then, of course, verse 35 again, behold, the Lamb of God. So Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God. The Old Testament was the sacrificial animal. Jesus became, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. He was the sacrificial, basically the animal, the sacrificial sacrifice. In Matthew 4, remember when the Bible says that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted? What was going on there? Does God go around bringing us places and letting Satan tempt us all the time? Is this the way God does things? No. What was going on here? Inspection. There was an inspection going on. Because Jesus was the Lamb of God, and He went into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and inspected. And the Bible says, listen to me, the Redeemer must be without blemish, without sin. Only God is eternally without sin. Hebrews 4:15 says, is there any water? I am thirsty. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm trying to get to a point here, so that's why I'm talking here pretty fast. But Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest which cannot sympathize with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points as we are. Guys, we're tempted every day, right? And we sin. But Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He was the Lamb of God. What if happened if Jesus would have sinned one time? That's it. Our redemption would have been kapoof, gone. But Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus was tempted and He didn't sin. Thank God for that. Ain't you glad there was someone who could be that spot or that lamb without blemish to redeem us of our sin? And 1 Peter 1:18, 19 says, knowing that you were not redeemed, you were not bought out from under the penalty of sin, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Another reason why the Redeemer must be God is simply the Old Testament tells us He must be God. Isaiah 54 says this, it says, for your Maker is your husband, the Lord. Lord is Hebrew for Yahweh. The Lord of hosts is His name, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Point blank tells you right there, the Redeemer is God. Simply put, the Redeemer is God. He's the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall He be called. So get this. We have learned so far that the Redeemer must be God, but listen to me, I bet you didn't really think about this too much. The Bible also tells us that the Redeemer must be man. Did you know that? The Redeemer must be God. It's a mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifest in the flesh. The Bible tells us that the Redeemer must be God, but He also must be man. Now watch this. Turn to Genesis 3:15. Hallelujah. Genesis 3:15. Say, I'm redeemed. Genesis 3:15. You guys know this. This is right after Satan tempted, you know, Adam with this the fruit, forbidden fruit, and after it all was over with and thus cleared, God said, because you have done this, verse 14, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly, talking to Satan, you shall go and you shall eat dust in all the days of your life. And listen, I will put enmity. Enmity means hostility, a hatred. I will put a hatred between you and the woman. Catch this. Watch this. And between your seed, who's he talking to? Satan. Your seed and her seed. Now, hold on a second. Does women have seed? Does women literally have seed? No. Men have seed, don't they? We're talking about everybody growing up here. Sperm. That's what we're talking about. Okay? Men have seed. But he said, what did he say? And I will put in between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. Now, here's what's going on. God said her seed, because we know it's actually what he's talking about. We know this is prophetic of Jesus. Do you know that? This verse is prophetic of Jesus, talking about Jesus. Women don't literally have seed, but what he was saying is offspring, your child, your children, her seed. Literally talking about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, right? Because Jesus was born without the seed of a human father. So he's talking about, he said, your seed. Talking to the woman, your seed. Now watch. This is good. It's going to get gooder, I promise. He says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. Jesus. He shall bruise your head. He's going to strip you of all authority. He's going to strip you of all authority, Satan. He's going to bruise your head. Now watch. He's going to bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Now watch. I want you to understand this here. Okay. Hallelujah. Just a second. Okay. According to this verse, I want you to look at it again. According to this verse in Genesis 3:15, God is saying that the Redeemer, Jesus is the Redeemer has to come through the seed of woman. Is that not right? He has to come through woman. Why couldn't the Redeemer just go, or God, just go poof, and there's the Redeemer? Why couldn't he do that? He's God. Can't he do anything? Why couldn't he just go poof and there's Jesus? Forget a woman, just poof, magic. No, he couldn't do that. God is a just God, and he established things from the very beginning, from the foundation of the earth. He had laws and things. He structured the law of sowing and reaping, and he's already established everything. So he's not a God. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of God that he would ever repent, change his mind, and renege on things and say, okay, no, I'm losing this thing. I'm going to change it. No, God doesn't do that. Hey, God doesn't do that at all. Now watch this. Hebrews 10:5. Listen to this. Wherefore, when he came into the world, who's he that came into the world? Jesus. When he came into the world, how do men and women come into the world? Through woman. Okay, now watch this. This is going to get good, I promise. You'll see it. When he came into the world, he said, this is actually quoted from Psalms 40, Jesus, when he came into the world, said this, sacrifice and offering you do not desire. Talking to God, his Father. He said, sacrifice and offering you don't desire. See, God didn't really like that sacrificial system, that old sacrificing, the way of sacrificing animal on the sins of Israel. It just pointed to a time when God would be manifest in the flesh. And so God said, so Jesus said, sacrifice and offering, you did not desire, God. You did not like that stuff, but a body. Okay, so he says God's going to prepare a body for him. How do bodies come into the earth? Through the womb of woman. Right. So Jesus is a legal. Jesus had to do it legally. Had to come to the earth legally. Watch this. I'm going to show you something about a scripture we're fixing to read, and you probably never saw this. Maybe you have. Turn to John 10. John 10. The Redeemer is prophesied to be the seed of woman. The seed of woman. Come through woman. Now watch this. John chapter 10. Very awesome scripture. Come alive to me. Very, very. You probably read it several times and think, man, I don't understand that. Okay, verse 1 says this. Most assuredly, I say to you, who's talking? Jesus. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, what's going on here? Anybody know what the sheepfold is? The sheepfold. What's he talking about? It sounds like he's talking about, you know, like some sheep and, you know, a pen and all this. But what's he really talking about? Anybody? Okay. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter, say enter, the sheepfold. The sheepfold is the earth. Okay? He goes on to say, but I say to you, he does not enter the sheepfold by the door. What is the door? Oh, I know, Brother Tommy. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the door. No, that's not what he's talking about. Not what he's talking about. You can't say that. Because he didn't say, I am the door, did he? No, he said, he who enters the door. He who enters the door is the, it goes on to say, is the shepherd of the sheep. Now watch this. Now let's translate it. The door is simply the womb of woman. Okay, now watch this. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the earth by the womb of woman, but climbs up some other way. Well, let's see. Who would he be talking about? Who climbed up some other way? Oh, Satan did, didn't he? How did he get access of the earth? Through man, through Adam, didn't he? Was he born of a woman? No, he was not. So he is a thief and a robber. Now watch this. He goes on to say, most surely I say to you, verse 1 again, I say unto you, he who does not enter the earth by the womb of woman, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. It's interesting. He goes in verse 10, it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. Talking about the devil. So this is really, it's all tying in. And he goes and says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Well, let me ask you something. Who entered by the door? Who is he talking to there? Who is he referring to? Himself. He's basically saying, look, I entered the door. I came through the earth legally. Therefore, I am the shepherd of the sheep. I'm the true shepherd. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? That's awesome. Jesus is our true shepherd. He came legally through the earth. Satan came illegally. He had access to this earth illegally. He did not come through the womb of woman the way all men do, you and I do. Therefore, he's illegal. Therefore, he's a thief and a robber. Hallelujah. I never understood that scripture until, you know, recently. That's pretty awesome. And then he goes on to say, I guess we won't cover it. We won't cover them, the next scriptures. But the devil, yeah, we talked about that. Okay. I'm staying focused. Another reason why the Redeemer must be man, simply put, ready? Here we go. The reason why the Redeemer has to be a man is because man got us in this mess. Man's got to get us out. See, God's a just God. He doesn't just say, well, man couldn't do it, so man, I'm just going to have to do something different. No, he said, look, okay, man got us into this mess, okay, so then you know what? Man's going to have to get us out. That's why the Bible says that God, the Redeemer, had to be God, and he had to be a man too. So the solution is he had to be a God-man. Fully God, fully man. That's the way the qualifications. And the only one that could meet those qualifications of the Redeemer was Jesus. He's the only one that could do it. We couldn't do it because we were sinful. We were injected with sin. So we couldn't do it. Why? Because the Lamb had to be without spot, without blemish. So that just canceled us out. So the Redeemer had to be God. He had to be man. Isn't that awesome? 1 Corinthians 15, 21 through 22 says this. Well, listen, you can see it right here. Where the reason why man got us in the mess, man's got to get us out. For since man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. I like that. God said, okay, man got us in the mess. Man's got to get us out. I love that. God is such a just God. He had it all figured out from the foundation of the world. He knew. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Romans 5:17 through 19 says this: For if by one man's offense reigned by one, death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, who's that? Adam. Judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of that one, of the one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Jesus, many shall be made righteous. Now, the actions of the first Adam, listen to me, the actions of the first Adam, since he was a representative man, so then after that, everyone born into Adam brought death. Isn't that right? The wages of sin is death. And then, but see, and the actions of Jesus, everyone born, listen, not born, but born again in Him, it affects everyone after that. So Jesus came, redeemed us from our sin, died on the cross, sinless sacrifice. Everyone born after that, that receives Him, that is born again, has eternal life. Thank God for Jesus Christ to be the Redeemer of my soul and Redeemer of my sin. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you what, you get to meditating on this stuff, it just stirs you. It challenges you. It gets you pumped up. Now, I want you to understand something. In His incarnation, in His becoming flesh, you need to understand this. Jesus, the Bible says in Philippians 2, 5 and 8, says Jesus emptied Himself out and took upon Him the form of a servant. And thought, and the Bible says, you know, in that verse, says thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. The word reputation in the Greek means it. He emptied Himself out, took upon Himself. Listen, the limitations of you and me. He humbled Himself. He was God. Humbled Himself. Took upon Himself the limitations of humanity. Hallelujah. And he humbled Himself and became a man as we are. Of course, we know the Scriptures go on and says that He was tempted in all points as we are, and yet without sin. But I want you to understand something too. 1 Timothy 2:15 says, there is one mediator between God and man. Listen, the man, Jesus Christ. I want you to understand something. I think a lot of times we got it maybe in our head, maybe that, because Jesus has already been resurrected, right? Correct? So let me ask you something. Since Jesus has been resurrected, because remember, God became flesh, dwelt among us, and He went back to heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Is He God now? Did He go back to being God? Or is He still a man? Interesting, huh? Well, come on, we know the script. You'll see the Scripture and go, oh, yeah. But I'm just saying, we think that God humbled Himself, became a man as we are. The Bible says, and he resurrected. So he's a glorified, I'm just giving it away. He's a glorified man. And he's sitting at the right hand of God. So did he stop becoming a man? Or did he stop his humanity being a man? Or did he go back to just being God? Because that's who he was. No, he's still a man. I want you to understand something. There is a glorified man seated at the right hand of God. Do you know that God loves us so much that He decided to keep His identity with us? His scars, guys, are still in His hands. He was resurrected. He was glorified. He could have said, no more scars. No more marks. I'm going back to being God. But He kept His identity with us eternal. He made it eternal. It's so interesting that the Bible says, I love this stuff, man. The Bible says in Luke 24:39, you remember Jesus when He showed Himself where Thomas, and He said, behold, my hands and my feet, handle me. It is I. A mere spirit does not have flesh and blood as you see me, and bones as you see me. And it's interesting, in Isaiah, the Bible says, can a mother forget her sucking child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? What He's saying is, can a mother just totally abandon her child and just and have no compassion whatsoever? Oh, He said, oh yeah, they may forget. It may be that way. Oh, but I, God, your Redeemer saying this, I will I have inscribed you. I've tattooed you on the palms of my hands. I can never forget you. That's what he said. I've inscribed you in the palms of my hands. I will never forget you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm telling you, God identified himself with you after the cross, and the marks of the crucifixion are still in his hands. And I'm going to tell you right now, those marks and that glorified man that he is in the body, there's a glorified man sitting at the right hand of God. He didn't stop becoming a man. Watch this. The Bible even tells you here, it tells you where to go. Well, 1 Timothy 2:15, we talked about that. For there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And this is written, guys, this scripture was written in present tense after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the Bible still referred to him as a man. He still kept his identity with us. Hallelujah. Now, watch this. We're going to go. So who did Christ redeem us? Who did Christ redeem? You and me. God did not redeem a select few, or a favored few, a chosen few. No, he redeemed all people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That it's God's will that none perish, that all come to repentance. God redeemed everyone. Listen to me very carefully. Not everyone in the world is born again, but everyone in the world is purchased. Isn't that awesome? He made a way for everyone to be saved. Not everyone probably will receive or become born again, but he made a way of purchase. He redeemed them, their soul, from hell. If they would call upon the name, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall and will be saved. Hallelujah. I think that's awesome. So what did Jesus Christ, we're going to get into this, fixing to come to a close. This is really part what I really wanted to get to, but I wanted to lay a foundation of how you're redeemed and what redeemed meant. Now we're going to talk about what you're redeemed from. Because I really want you to get a hold of this. You know what? There's even at work today, my coworker called in because she was sick. And then today my coworker came in, but she was sick 2 days ago. There's this flu thing going around. And, of course, you know, here we got the swine flu. And, I mean, it's all this mess. And I'm telling you, Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. Jesus redeemed you from the curse of the law. Do you even know what that curse entitles? Do you know what the curse is? In Deuteronomy in 28, we're going to go there in a few minutes, it tells us what that curse is. It lists specific curses, and it also says something after that that is just phenomenal, that I'm telling you, there's not a reason in this world why any believer should have sickness dwelling in their body. Jesus paid the price for that. And it's God's will that all be healed and all be set free and all be redeemed. He paid the total price for that. And I praise God, I want to get that redemption. I want to walk in that redemption because that's what Jesus did for me. So, God, Deuteronomy, let's go there. Deuteronomy 28:15. This is good, man. This is really, really good. This is what you've been redeemed from. You know, I think we hear that all the time. I've been redeemed. What have you been redeemed from? Do you know? Do you even know what you've been redeemed? Oh, yeah, we know I've been redeemed from sin. That's good. Praise the Lord. That's great. But what else have you been redeemed from? Listen to me. In Deuteronomy 28, we're going to go there. Verse 1 says, let me get there. Deuteronomy 28. Church, we got to get a hold of this because this is, you know, there's so many people that are so sick. Just allow sickness to come on them. Maybe there's some of you here that's got there's asthma or migraines or something that you just put up with because it doesn't seem to get any better. I'm telling you right now, tonight you can be set free from every sickness and every disease in Jesus' name. It's been paid. You've been redeemed. You've been bought out from under that sickness. It's been wiped away. You do not have to have. Christ has, past tense, already, settled fact, redeemed us. Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass if you, God talking, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. And then he goes on to say, and if you do not obey these commandments, all these curses will come upon you. Now, let me clear up something, because I guarantee you, if you go back tonight, and if I didn't say this, or you, maybe you have read before in the Scripture, and I'm going to clarify something because this will clear up your thinking. In the Scripture, especially in Deuteronomy here, you see that when you read Deuteronomy, when you read this whole chapter, it sounds as if God is putting these curses on you. If you read it, it's worded like that, especially in the King James. It's worded that God will cause these curses to come upon you. But listen to me. This is really interesting. That was weird. And the Hebrew scholars and Bible scholars, I'm going to give you a little nugget of study in here. In the Old Testament, a lot of the verbs that are translated into English should be, especially in Job, in the very beginning of Job, that's what I'm talking about. Those verbs should be translated in a permissive sense, not a causative sense. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of people say, well, God permitted that. Yeah, but see, God didn't cause it. Permission is not commission. Jesus commissioned you to preach the gospel. He didn't give you or He didn't commission you to go rob a bank. See, if you rob a bank, God permitted it, but He didn't commission you to do it. There's a difference. God permits people to go to hell, but He does not cause them to go there. He did not author that. He's not behind that. 2 Peter 3:9. For the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but long-suffering towards us, not willing that any perish, but all come to salvation, come to know Him. So permission is not commission. And so when you read the Scripture, and especially in Deuteronomy 28, God permitted a lot of this stuff. But let me say this. Judgment, wrath, and the curse is really the result of the law of sowing and reaping. A lot of it is. God said, you know, I said Deuteronomy 30:14, I think it is. God says, before you today, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live. Verse 19. See, so God has given us a choice. He said, choose life. And told us the answer. Gave us a dilemma. Gave us a choice. He said, okay, this is what's going on. But listen to me. God does not cause the curses. The curses, the Bible says that Satan comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. Jesus did not cause those curses. These curses do not come upon you so that it can make you a better person, that it could just to strengthen your piety, to make you more piety, you know, better person. It builds character. Any of the mess you hear out there. It simply comes, those curses come to destroy. Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. The blessings that He gives here came to bring life, to heal your body, to set you free. There's three, and we're coming to a close. There's three categories listed, and instead of reading them all and try to break them down, you know, the Deuteronomy chapter 28 has three categories listed there. Okay? Here's the three categories. You are redeemed from sickness. That's physical sickness, emotional sickness, mental distress, mental sickness. Those are categories. Another category that you are redeemed from is death, physical death, and ultimately spiritual death. Another sickness or another category that you're free from is poverty. Poverty. That's financial poverty, social poverty. That's family devastation. That's why I rebuke tragedy. I rebuke tragedy. I bind tragedy. Tragedy cannot come in my family. I will not allow it because I've been redeemed from it. There's scriptures, other scriptures that talk about that. But I'm telling you, listen to me, these are the three categories that Christ, He's redeemed you from poverty. He's redeemed you from sickness. He's redeemed you from death. Premature physical death. We're all going to die one day, right? Premature physical death. I bind premature physical death in my life. Because Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Jesus becoming a curse for me. Why? Why did He do it? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through faith. The promise of the Spirit is that's through faith. These promises are by faith. And I've been redeemed and you and me have been redeemed. Now here, very quickly, I'm going to list these sicknesses according to the way it's listed. But, of course, there's a lot of translations here and it pulls it out what these things are. Some of these I don't even know, but you know what? I've been redeemed from them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sickness is not a blessing in disguise and none of that stuff. Listen, here it is. Disease after disease, according to the Scripture here in Deuteronomy 28. Disease after disease, chronic alignments, tuberculosis, infectious disease, cold, malarial fever, infections, influenza, sunstroke, jaundice, paleness, inflammatory disease, ulcers, sores, boils, tumors, hemorrhoids, swelling in the groin, scurvy, eczema, incurable itch, malignant scab, could be skin cancer, it says, festering sores, skin disease, skin eruptions, possible acne. Anybody got any acne? Insanity, confusion, fear, and panic. Strokes, malignant and obstinate diseases, cancer. You know, incurable disease and horrible epidemics, including AIDS, severe and lasting plagues, long-lasting sickness, trembling heart, failing of the eyes, sorrow of the mind. And verse 61, I love it. Because God didn't leave nothing out. And He says, also, every sickness that is not listed in this book. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Listen to me. I heard it said that Jesus had 39 stripes, right? Is that what the Bible says? He had 39 stripes? He took 39 stripes? Now, I hadn't proven this, but I believe it. I'm gonna study it out. Maybe if you know, if you've got proof, show me. But I've heard it said that Jesus had 39 stripes on His back. And if I understand correctly, there's 39 major categories of sickness in the world today. All those sicknesses are classified in the medical world, 39 categories. And Jesus said, I'll take every 39 lashes, because every 39 lashes means every sickness and disease has to go. Amen. Glory to God. Doesn't that excite you? You think, well, man, I just got this thing and I just don't know if I can get rid of it. No, no, no. You've been redeemed. I don't care. Look at His back. The stripes on His back. Read it in Scripture. He took every lash, every just whip was every sickness you could ever possess. Anything that you could ever think of, even the swine flu. It don't matter. I'm telling you, I'm redeemed from swine flu. I tell you what, I get around people and somebody, oh, watch it. You know, I'm sick. So I don't care. You get around me, you might get healed. I'm serious. I have that attitude. I can't be scared of, oh, sickness. Ooh, cover, washing the hands. No, come on, there's wisdom. I understand that. But we can't walk around with fear. Isn't that one of the things? Fear and panic. Christ has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, Christ redeemed you from these things. So let me ask you something. Is there anybody here who has any kind of sickness, any kind of disease that you've been allowing to hang around because you thought you had to put up with it? You thought that you just had to, you know, there's some things that you can live with that, oh, it's a little bit uncomfortable, but think, well, I can live with it. It's okay. Or I can take my medicine. That's okay. But listen to me. I don't know about you, but I think it's an offense for me to have to spend my hard-earned money on medicine. If you take medicine, that's fine. Praise God. We're not saying anything against that. I'm just telling you, God's best. God wants to give you His best. And His best is that you're redeemed. Matter of fact, Jesus is His best. He redeemed you from the curse of the law. And if you have the faith and you can receive total redemption, because that's what we're talking about, total redemption, Jesus will redeem you of every sickness and every disease that you may be facing, that you may be having. Christ wants to redeem you once and for all.